Good evening. Welcome to our shiur on can you be a delivery driver for Uber Eats? And the question that we discussed last week, we're going to discuss it with different ways this week. We raised the question that if you're going to be a delivery boy for Uber Eats, then the primary problem that you're going to have, one of the problems that you're going to have, is that you're going to be delivering food to people who order it, and they might be non-religious Jews who are not keeping kosher, yet they're still Jewish. So obviously, providing them the food, delivering them the food, is not going to be an issa d'oraisa, because they could get it on their own. They could go to the store, they could order it with somebody else, they could order it from a different app or a different driver who's not you, and therefore it's not considered, you know, on the other side of the river, trei avad d'nara. So therefore we're only going to be dealing with a problem, a potential problem, of not lifne iver d'oraisa, but at worst, lifne iver midrabbanan. What we have to discuss, and what we raised last time, and we're going to discuss a little bit more, is, wait a second, what's the prohibition? If somebody could access the prohibited food on their own, so it's not lifnei iver d'oraisa, is there an isser to, there's no isser in putting a stumbling block, but you're not allowed to help them do an aveira. So there's that concept, which definitely applies, which probably applies to a fellow Jew, it's machlokas, but let's assume it applies to a fellow Jew. But does that prohibition apply even to a non-religious Jew? Meaning, even though, let's assume, many Rishonim suggest, machlokas, but many suggest, even if there's no lifnei iver d'oraisa, you can't help a Jew, you can't aid and abet a Jew to violate an iser, you can't hand him not kosher food, but maybe if he's not religious himself, maybe that makes it okay. That was a svara put forth by the Shach, that we presented last week, and we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. Is there any issur d'rabbanan in handing over non-kosher food to a non-religious Jew if he really could get it elsewhere? So you're not enabling him, you're helping him. But you're helping somebody who really doesn't care about this anyway. He doesn't keep kosher anyway. Are you allowed to play a role? So allow me to please share my screen with you. Okay, so here we have on my shared screen, what I'm going to show you now is a Shulchan Aruch who's not talking about anything related to food. No, I mean, it relates to food, but nothing related to kashrus, nothing related to kosher food or non-kosher food, but rather to the very first Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, which you're all familiar with. The first Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos talks about four situations where you could violate Hotza'ah. I lift it up in my house and I hand it to, I have a bread, you knock on my door, a poor person knocks on my door. I lift up a loaf of bread, I put it over the threshold of the door and put it in the hands of a poor person. Or the poor person reaches his hands into my house, lifts up a loaf of bread, takes it outside and puts it down. So there the first Mishnah of Maseches Shabbos and the Shulchan Aruch, following that first Mishnah, talks about the fact that in order to violate Shabbos on a Midoraisa level, Hotza'ah is only violated if there's an Akira and a Hanacha. An Akira and a Hanacha. If one person lifts it up in a Rishus HaYachid, takes it over the threshold, puts it down in a Rishus HaRabim, that's going to be an Issa D'oraisa. What happens if I'm the Balabai, somebody knocks on my door, a poor person knocks on my door in a Rishus HaRabim, and I say, how can I help you? He says, I'm starving, do you have a challah roll for me? I say, sure. I go to my living room, I pick up a challah from my dining room table, I pick up a challah roll, I walk to the front door, and I'm holding my hand inside the front door. He reaches his hand over the front door and takes it out of my hand. So he never lifted it off from the ground. I let me rephrase that. I put it into his hand. I deposit the challah in his hand, he takes it outside. So what is that? That's a, I did the Akira. I lifted it up, I put it in his hand, he just took it outside and put it down. There's no Akira and Hanacha, it's just a Hanacha. That's not Issa D'oraisa. But can I ask you a question? Let's say I put it in his hand in a way that if he wanted to, he could reach inside himself. I'll say that again. The Mishnah is talking about a case where I put it in the Yisrael's hand, he takes it outside. What if he could have gotten it himself? Oh, he could have gotten it himself, so that it sounds like our case. It's a case where a person could have done it himself. He doesn't need the assistance of a fellow Jew. He could do the Isser himself. What will be the halacha there? So let's see the Shulchan Aruch over here. The Shulchan Aruch says the following: Min haTorah, mida raisa, ein chayav el. The only time you're chayav for carrying on Shabbos, when I say carry, I'm not talking about Dalet Amos Rishus Harabim. I'm talking about from Rishus Harabim to Rishus Hayachid, Yachid to Rabim. Only ela kisha oker chayfetz Rishus Hayachid. You take it outside, v'nicho b'rishus harabim. That's the issa d'oraisa, in either direction. However, what happens if he sticks his hands inside? Pashat yad lifnim. Somebody, the poor person, sticks his hand inside and lifts up, let's say, I'm the Ani, I'm the Asher, I'm the wealthy person, I'm standing inside with a loaf of bread in my hand. The poor person sticks his hand over the threshold, takes it out of my hand. Shenimtza, it ends up being, Sheha'omid b'chutz levado akar v'hiniach. The poor person outside lifted it up from my hand and took it outside. So, the poor person who took it outside is chayav. Why? Because he lifted it up, indoors, took it over the threshold, and put it down outside. However, the Jew inside the house who's providing the bread, let's call him the wealthy person, the Baal Tzedakah, is Pater Aval Aser. What did he do? Let me tell you again. A guy knocks on my door. Can I please have a piece of bread? I say, sure. I bring a piece of bread and I hold it inside my house. I don't extend my hand. I don't hand it to him. I'm just holding it in my hands inside my house. And now the poor person takes it from my hand and takes it outside. So he did everything. He lifted it up from my hand, took it over the threshold, put it down outside. I did nothing. Why is it usher for me? What did I do that's usher? So the Magen Avraham says very simply, I violated lifnei iver. I provided for him the bread to take outside, to cover me lifnei iver. Oh, but says the Magen Avraham, and this is going to be what we need. What happens if, even if I wouldn't have held it up for the poor person to take outside. Let's say it was at my doorstop, at my door front, right near the front of my house, in my, that little ante room in the opening of my house. He could have gotten it without me handing it or holding it for him. V'im hu munach, ba'ofen shemafil lo hayab yado, the poor person could have taken it. There's no lifnei iver, but there would still be an issa d'rabbanan. Right? If you provide something, even when he could get it himself, there's still an issa d'rabbanan. But, he says, that would only apply to a fellow Jew. But Tosfos writes, to asur lehoshe lemumrim dvar iser. One second. The Magen Avraham, which is also quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says that if it's an irreligious Jew, it would be asur. So, in this case, where you have a situation where the Jew could do it on his own, and you're helping a Jew do something that he could do on his own, it's going to be also even if he's not religious. If we stop right here and apply it to the case of Uber Eats, if I'm going to be delivering Uber Eats, non-kosher food, to a Jewish fellow, even if he's not religious, it sounds here that the Mishnah Berurah is passing that it will be Aser. Not like the Shach, I told you for last week. Last week the Shach said if it's a non-religious Jew, there's no prohibition of handing it to him if he could get it otherwise. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be Machmir. That is one point. I want to share with you a fascinating shaila that also applies the same logic that we're learning now of what happens if a Jew could do something on their own and I help them do the Isser, but he's not a religious Jew. Let's see. We'll actually skip that case. This is a tshuva of the Chavos Yair. The Chavos Yair, Yair Chaim ben Moshe Shemshon Baruch in Leipzig, Germany in 1638. So he's a very early, one of the earliest Achronim. And it's interesting, his biography writes that he had a hard life in the rabbinate. I guess that nothing's new there. Baruch Hashem. So the Chavis Yoreh says the following. It looks from the Shaila that he was writing to the Melamed Lahoil. Melamed Lahoil was a well-known, also Talmud Chacham. Listen to this question, and more interesting than the question is the way he describes it. There was a partner, two partners in a meat business. Look how the partnership was described. Yehudi hayashutfo shel Amalek. A Jew is a shutaf, a partner with Amalek, meaning a non-Jew. Breva Chaburski with some kind of meat market business. And the deal was a very simple deal. The deal was the Jew took the front quarters and the Gentile took the hind quarters of their meats. Very good deal. And that was the deal that they had year after year. The Jew had the front of the meat and the hind quarters of the meat where the Gid Hanasha is and the non-kosher part, the Chalev and the Gid Hanasha is all in the hind quarters. That was all handed to a Goyisha partner. Sounds like a great business deal. That's exactly what the Shlach places in America do. They use the front half of the cow for the Jewish consumers and the second back half of the cow for the non-Jewish consumers. It happens to be interesting. When I was taking the YU Smicha students to a Shchita house so they could learn some hands-on Hilchas Shchita, the one who presented the demonstration to our Talmidim is a Sfardi, Rabbi Elkin, and his expertise is Nikur. He's a Menaker. He has a Kabbalah in Nikur in taking out the Gid Hanasha and the Chalef from the hindquarters. So not only did he teach, he showed our boys, our YU Smicha students, who are primarily Ashkenazi, how to do all the halachas of Shchita, he also did a full Nikur and removed the Gid Hanasha, and he showed us the Gid Hanasha, he removed the Gid Hanasha, and he removed the Chalev from the hindquarters. I believe that there are about 50 places that have to be removed, 5-0, 6-0, something like 50 or 60 little tiny sinews, little bits of fat that have to be peeled off. Those are all Chalev. It's like frightening because like you're holding a little bit of fat, like this little bit of fat is Chalev. And the rest of the fat, that's all mutter. You pull it off and okay, it's no more Chalev. It's a very frightening thing because we're talking about Yisurim Daraisa and he has to remember by memory of what he was trained for, and you have to trust him, that he was trained to just remove the exact fats that's usher and any other fat, okay, that's not Chalev. Okay, but that's all in the hind quarters. If you eat the front quarters, there's no Chalev, there's no Gid Hanasha, everything's delicious. What was the problem with this business? The problem with this business is this non-Jew, a few years into the business, married a Jewish girl and had children. Now remember, the business was that all the non-kosher meat goes to the non-Jew. But now his wife and children are Jews. Non-religious Jews, but they're Jews. So now this Jewish partner in the meat business wants to know if he could continue his partnership because this is his business, where the non-Jewish partner takes the non-kosher parts of the meat and presumably feeds it to his wife and kids, who are Jews. So, is this considered lifnei iver, to continue the partnership, giving your Gentile partner food, where you're effectively, maybe indirectly, but giving feeding a Jewish family, or at least the mother and kids are Jewish, this is non-kosher food. So, the Chavis Yoreh sets down a very big yesod in Hilchos Lifnei Iver. Let me ask you a question. We know that if you could get something elsewhere, that's not Lifnei Iver. If I give you something, but you could get it yourself, that's not Lifnei Iver. What happens if I give you something, not kosher, you could get it yourself. But if you would get it yourself, it would be very difficult to come by. For example, the classical case where there's a guy on one side of the river with wine, a cup of wine, and a nazir on the other side of the river. So the guy on the other side of the river, the nazir on the other side of the river, can't get the wine unless I hand it to him. That's lifnei iver d'oraisa, right? What happens if I have wine on my side, the nazir's on the other side, but he has a rowboat, and in 8-9 minutes he could row across the river with a little bit of energy? Won't be so easy. He has to row 9 minutes there, 9 minutes back. But he could get the wine by himself without me handing it to him. I'm not enabling. I'm helping. I'm making it a lot easier for him. Is that going to be lifnei iver d'oraisa or not? He could get it. So the Chavis Yoreh, there's the famous Chavis Yoreh who's Mechadesh, that's still going to be considered lifnei iver. because it's going to be hard for him to get, even though he could get it. But if it's hard for him to get, that will be considered lifnei iver. The only time that we're lenient and say it's not considered lifnei iver, where you could get it yourself, is if you could get it just as easily. And he brings an interesting proof. I'll show you what the proof is. If you lend money with interest, so besides violating the issur d'oraisa of lending money with interest, you know what else you violate? You violated lifnei iver. Let me rephrase that. If you borrow money with interest, besides the issur d'oraisa of paying interest, you also violate the rules of lifnei iver. Why? Because you're enabling the lender to collect interest from you. You're enabling him to collect ribbis from you. Can I ask you a question? Can't the borrower get money elsewhere? Or can't the lender lend his money elsewhere? Of course they can, but it's still going to be lifnei iver, because when you have to find a lender and a mortgage broker, it takes time, it's hard. So therefore it's still considered lifnei iver, because even though you could get it elsewhere, but if it's hard to do, that's lifnei iver. Fine. So look at that. I'm sorry, I didn't even show you the shaila that he the shaila was good. Fine. We asked the shaila about the meat. The Chavas Yar presents the following situation. Let me say it in the Uber Eats application, then we'll see in the Chavas Yar's situation. Let's say I'm going to work for Uber Eats, and I'm going to deliver. I have some grilled chicken and some catfish, non-kosher sushi, and I see the delivery is to a family with the last name Klein. And I get there, there's a mezuzah on the door. A mezuzah that looks like it's been there for 37 years, with seven layers of paint over that little tiny mezuzah. You know that mezuzah from like those tiny little mezuzahs with many layers of paint on it? That's what I see. So you know what? I know the guy's last name is Klein. That's the name on the bill. So I don't want to hand it to Mr. Klein. What if I just leave it on the doorstep? Why? Because maybe that's going to be a little bit more lenient if I don't hand it to him directly. Why is it a little bit more lenient? Because we know in the halachas of lifnei iver is only asur if it's lifnei iver, right before a blind man. But the Gemara says if it's lifnei to lifnei, if it's two steps removed, you put it somewhere, and then that brings it to the person to do the avera. Two steps removed, that's not considered lifnei iver. So maybe I could leave it on the doorstep. Would that be a solution? Because the Chavas Yar is wondering, with the same case, I give the meat to my Gentile partner in the meat business. But he's not going to eat something not kosher. I mean, he's not Jewish. He could eat not kosher. He is subsequently going to give it to his wife and kids, which is a second step removed. Should that be mutter? That's exactly what I'm going to suggest. By the delivery guy, you know, for Uber Eats, he'll put it on the doorstep. And that's one step removed. Then the Jew has to bring it inside, and that will be a second step. I'm not handing it to the Jew. Says the Chavas Yar, that's not going to be a good heter. This idea that you're two steps removed from the actual Jew who's consuming this non-kosher meat, in the question that he was asked of the business with non-kosher meat business, gam in heter b'masha eno nosin abas liyad ha-goy, rak l'shifchasov, havel lifnei d'lifnei, it's two steps removed. Because when you put it there, when you're handing it to, let's say, the maid or whoever you're handing it to, I don't want to get into the details. He says that's still going to be a problem. It's still going to be a problem if you would make it available right at the person's front door. But the Chavas Yar says, I think in this case of the meat partnership, where the partner in the meat business married a Jewish woman and had Jewish kids afterwards, after we already had this deal going, I think I could find some coolants. First of all, the Jewish woman that's eating the meat is not religious. She's a mumer. Maybe that's worse than not religious. She's a mumer. And there are those who are makel by mumers. that there's no problem of lifnei iver to somebody who's not religious. That's what we saw last week. Secondly, okay, I'm not sure if we're going to go through all those details. I'll share one or two more details. The fact that we have this business going on every year, for years, I would always give it to my partner, the guy, the non-kosher meat, and that was fine. Then all of a sudden, at one point, he decides, he didn't ask me, he decides to marry this Jewish girl and have Jewish kids. It's like, I'm doing this for years, and he's changing the status quo. I'm not doing anything different. There's a concept that I didn't come into your house, you came into my house. Hu ba bigvuli. He, like, I had this deal going. He decided to marry a Jewish woman and have Jewish kids. That's not my problem. That doesn't change what I have to do. That's an interesting svara to be made with the meat case. Okay, and therefore he wants to find some kulas to allow this meat interaction, this meat business. I'd like now, after we finished going through this, I'm going to skip all this. After we discussed the one issue, which is handing it over to a non-Jewish person, handing non-kosher food, I'm sorry, to a non-religious person, it seems to be it's a big machlokas. It's a big machlokas if you're allowed to hand non-kosher food to somebody who's officially not religious. Certainly, if someone went off the derech and is a real mumar, that's a big machlokas. So let's put that machlokas aside. That's one issue to be concerned with. I want to raise two other issues for the rest of this year. There'll be easier sugyas, each one a mini sugya. One is doing business with non-kosher food. Now, I'm a delivery boy. I'm a delivery man. I deliver for Uber Eats. Now, I know the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to do business with non-kosher food. You're not allowed to have a... there are some poskim who say, I'm not allowed to own a McDonald's. I'm not allowed to... We'll have to see. What about work at a McDonald's? What about be a delivery boy for McDonald's? That's our question. So I'm definitely not allowed to own a McDonald's. That I'm not allowed to do. There are even some poskim who say not allowed to own stock in McDonald's. But we're not going to discuss that. That's already... I'm not talking about a fund. You put money in a fund, and part of the fund is McDonald's, a little bit of McDonald's in that fund. I'm talking about buying stock in McDonald's directly in a non-kosher food company. Boar's Head pig, right? You're going to have stock in Boar's Head? No, that's usher, according to some poskim. But let's not talk about it. I'm talking about doing business with meat. You can't buy and sell non-kosher food. This is recorded in the Shulchan Aruch. And he says the following. And what our goal will be is to figure out, again, there's a new section now. This section I want to figure out, is there a problem of doing business with non-kosher food? Of course there is. Does that issur of doing business with non-kosher food apply even to delivering non-kosher food? That's our discussion now. Look at what the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Yoredeh Kuf Yud Zayin. Kol davar she'asur min ha-Torah. He starts off by telling you that this issue is only going to be if it's food that's asur midaraisa. Afal pi she'mutar b'hana, we're not talking about basar b'chalav. Anything that's made for food and that's asur to eat, you're not allowed to do business with it. Now he says something interesting. It's only something that's miyuchad lemaachal. If it's, let's say you have a pharmacy and you have medications that are that have some, you know, some creams are made out of some lotions are made out of I don't know, a pig base. So that's a different story because that's not made for eating. We're only talking about this issur of doing business with non-kosher food is only edible food, food that's for humans to eat. I'm allowed to have a pet store that sells dog food made out of horse meat, cat food made out of horse meat, because pet food is not food, regular food. This issur is limited to, you can't do business if food is asur midaraisa and it's regular food, then you can't do business with it. Va'afilu, and look at this. This is very important. The Shulchan Aruch is going to say, and this is going to be a big discussion among the poskim, what about serving your non-Jewish employees non-kosher food? Let's say you have a company with, you're a from guy, you have a company with 10, 12 employees, you want to take them out for dinner, you take them to a kosher restaurant, it's going to cost you a foot and an arm and a leg. Why don't you just take them to a treif restaurant, which they'll appreciate more? You'll just buy them dinner, buy them lunch. Even to buy non-kosher food to serve your employees is aser, the Shulchan Aruch writes. It's a big discussion among the poskim, but that's very important. Sometimes, let's say there's some people working in your house, you have a contracting business, you have some workers, and you want to get lunch for them so they could work better. So you just, could you order in from the Chinese takeout for your Chinese employees, your non-Jewish employees? No. You can't even buy food to feed your employees. Okay, we're not going to talk about that. However, if it's only food that's also drabanan, then of course there's no issur to do business. So let's think for a second. What's our shaila? Uber Eats. What are you delivering? You're delivering sushi that has non-kosher fish. That's asa daraisa. You're delivering McDonald's. You're delivering meat that's nevela. Any meat you buy, even if it's from a cow, right, a cow is a kosher animal, but it wasn't shechted. It's nevela. It's not kosher food. The meat that is in any non-kosher restaurant is definitely asur mida oraisa. Now, again, if you're going to order salads, so the worst thing you're going to have is you're going to have some bugs. Maybe they could say, no, you're not serving them bugs. You're serving them salad, and there are tangential. There happen to be bugs there. So I don't want to get into that either. But if I'm going to be delivering a sushi that has non-kosher fish, or a meat dish that has non-kosher meat or non-kosher chicken, that's issur d'oraisa, and I'm not allowed to do business with an issur d'oraisa. So am I allowed to deliver it? So I think what we should do first, before we analyze, am I allowed to deliver it, am I not allowed to deliver it, let's first understand, why is there an issur to do business with non-kosher food in the first place? Once I know the reasons, maybe I could deduce and I could figure out whether it's usher to deliver it also. Comes the Shach, and he says there are two reasons. Reason number one, why is it usher to do business with non-kosher food? Hatam sheva yavo le'echol mehem. Ooh. You know why you're not allowed to do business with non-kosher food? Because you might come to eat non-kosher food. And that explains why, if I sell pet food, there's nothing wrong. I'm not going to come to eat the pet food. If I sell ointments that are made based on pig's fat in the ointments, we're not worried about selling those ointments because you're not going to eat those ointments because you don't eat ointment. If the whole issur that you might come to eat it, so don't sell it because you might come to eat it. I will tell you a secret. This is a secret. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but there was an article written by the COR, the Canadian Orthodox Rabbinate, I guess that's the main hashgach, it's like the OU of Canada. I think the article was written, I have the article right here, it was written by Rabbi Tzvi Heber. I believe Tzvi Heber is Sam Bergman's son-in-law, who is a very well-respected posek in Canada, in Toronto, for the COR. And listen to this survey that he writes. 28% of delivery drivers admit to taking food from an order. You heard that? That's a headline of a one of these business food business articles. 28%. Okay, maybe it's not 20%. A very significant portion of delivery people, when they're delivering food, they take a, you know, you can imagine, oh, this French fries smell good, to take a French fry, take a little this, take a piece of sushi. That's a very high percentage. So if the reason is that you can't do business with non-kosher food because you can't buy and sell non-kosher food because you might come to eat it, well, that same concern might apply to delivering the non-kosher food. You might come to eat it. Okay. Inami. The Shach says there's another reason maybe why you're not allowed to do business with non-kosher food. Maybe the reason is because Hatam Hu Mishum, a totally different reason. Deharoa, somebody who sees you selling non-kosher food for eating. Deharoa Shesocher, Bidavar Ha'osla Tzorach Achila, Yashu, just like you're selling it, or you're allowed to sell it, so too, if you're involved in selling this food, you're probably eating this food also. If I see a guy who's selling some tray food, I assume he's also involved in eating the non-tray food. So it's going to be like a Maris Ayin type of halacha. And therefore, if you sell food that you don't eat, like it's pet food, so no one's going to assume that, oh, you're probably eating this food also. So it's not going to be a Maris Ayin. So we have two svaras. Why you're not allowed to sell non-kosher food? Either because you might come to eat it or because people will think that you're eating it. A Maris Ayin. Two different reasons. Now, the question remains, how will this apply to delivery? Are you allowed to deliver non-kosher food? Believe it or not, this question was asked to Moshe Feinstein, do you know where and when? It was asked before he came to America. It was asked 90 years ago in Luban, right? We know that Moshe was a Rav in Luban before he came to America. That's where he got this shaila. So it wasn't an Uber Eats shaila. It wasn't a taxi cab shaila. It was a wagon driver. A wagon driver was asked to ship, to carry a wagon's full of besar chazir. Is he allowed to drive this wagon full of chazir? So Rav Moshe says, I have a great chap. He says the following. One second. What's the concern? The concern is that you might come to, you shouldn't do business because you might come to eat it. Can I ask you a question? We're worried you might come to eat the non-kosher food. That's if it's your food, you might come to eat your non-kosher food. But if it's not yours, you're just a delivery boy. Should we assume that a Jew, a religious Jew, he might come to eat the non-kosher food, but will he steal food that doesn't belong to him? Maybe we're choshed that somebody will eat non-kosher food because it tastes good, it smells good, and he's starving, so maybe he'll come to eat it. But we don't assume that you're going to steal food that doesn't belong to you. Oh. Ramosh is telling us that the issue of doing business with non-kosher food is only if you own it, you might come to eat it. But if it's not your food, and if you would take that food, you'd violate stealing, maybe there is no iser. Oh, fascinating. So if you're a delivery service where you have no right to the food, you have no ownership of the food, it should be iser. But wait a second. Let's say you're working as a waiter in a non-kosher restaurant and the waiters are allowed to take food, or a waiter in a non-kosher affair and they have a smorgasbord, a non-kosher smorgasbord. Are you allowed to, where the waiters are allowed to take the food? So maybe that would be a problem, right? Maybe that would be a problem because you can take the food. But in a regular delivery situation, Uber drivers, we know that people do steal. But that's not okay. They're not allowed to. That's stealing. We don't assume that a Jewish Orthodox driver is going to steal the food. So maybe you're not allowed to do business with food when you own the food. You're buying and selling the food. It's yours. Then you might come to eat it. But we're not choshed, you might come to eat food that isn't yours. That's one concern. Secondly, if you would take some of the food, if the whole issur is that you might come to eat the food, right? That's one of the issurim. You might come to eat the food. But if it's packaged and you see that there's some food missing, you see the packaging has been opened, then that's going to give you a bad reputation in the delivery service. So no one's going to want to hire you again. You're going to have a bad rating on your Uber app. So maybe that's also the reason we're not going to be worried you're going to come to eat the food. In which case, maybe it should be mutter to deliver the food. So halach lemaisa, Rav Moshe Feinstein concludes. What's that, Avi?
The survey that said that the retarded number of Uber drivers that steal food, that's nowadays with the sealed packages and everything, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It was dated 2019, July 2019. That's 1 year ago, a year and a half ago, yeah. But that wasn't talking about frum drivers. We're talking about a frum yid. Even if we're worried that a frum yid is hungry and the food smells good, he might come to taste a bite. But to assume that he would steal, that's a whole different. We don't see a chazal worry that he's going to steal. That far we might not be nervous about. You see a chazal worry that he shouldn't come to eat it. That's what Moshe suggests. So either way, this with these svaras and with some other svaras, Rav Moshe Feinstein concludes that the halacha is you are, yes, allowed to deliver non-kosher food. Even though it is considered, doing business is only usur if you are owning it and buying and selling it, transacting non-kosher food. But to deliver non-kosher food, that, as a delivery service, that Moshe Feinstein says is mutter. So that issue of doing schor with non-kosher food, that will not be a problem. So let's put that out of the way. The final section of this shir will be a third issue. Again, we said that this shaila of a Jewish person delivering non-kosher food for Uber Eats has three aspects. Number one, what happens with lifnei iver if you're delivering to a Jew, not a religious Jew? We said that's a machlokas. It might be asid rabban, it might not be asid rabbanan. Machlokas on an asid rabban. The second half was, could you do business with non-kosher food? The answer is, you're not owning the non-kosher food. You're just delivering it. It's mutter. So we solved that problem. The only problem that will remain is the following. What happens if the non-kosher food you have is basa b'chalav? So before we get into basa b'chalav, we have to just be aware of two points. Number one, basa b'chalav is not just asr to eat. It's not just asr to cook. It's asr to get hana'a from. So let me ask you a question. Let's say you have a non-kosher restaurant takes meat, drops it in a pot of boiling milk. You now have basa b'chalav midaraisa. If it's kosher meat, kosher milk, boiled together, it's basa b'chalav daraisa. And you're just going to deliver it and get paid $5, $7 for that delivery. Guess what? You just got hana'a, $7 worth, from that basa b'chalav, right? So here, we're going to have to raise a few questions when it comes to Uber Eats. Number one, what are the parameters of, we're going to have to learn a few of the halachas of basa b'chalav to see how it will apply to non-kosher restaurants, as you'll see just in a moment or two. Number two, does the Uber Eats delivery driver get to see the list of ordered foods so he could determine for himself if there is basa b'chalav here? The answer is yes. Somebody, the person who asked me the shaila, and who was interested in doing these deliveries, said that yes, when you get the on your app, the ding that says, okay, somebody wants to order, do you want to take this call? You could see the food items that are being ordered. So you could quickly see, well, let's see what we have here. I have a grilled chicken sandwich. I have a salad. I have, a milkshake. I have a steamed sweet potato, and I have fries. Oh, I don't see any basa b'chalav there. The grilled chicken is definitely not kosher chicken. It's definitely nevela chicken. It's from, southern fried chicken. It's from, Popeye's southern fried chicken. But there's no basa b'chalav there. Unless, wait a second. Does anyone know how Popeye's southern fried chicken makes their southern fried chicken? You know when you have your batter, you dip your chicken in the batter in the breadcrumbs? If you have the breadcrumbs mixed with milk and then you dip it in that batter, it has a much richer flavor. So is that going to be a problem? Well, besides that, when you get meat, and this is a problem, I'm sure any of you have been involved in friends who wanted to become cooks and go to culinary school, you know well that one of the challenges of going to a non-kosher culinary school, which was basically all the culinary schools in the world, save, a handful in Eretz Yisrael, maybe one or two in Brooklyn, all the culinary schools have the problem of a big part of culinary school, of preparing meat is frying it in butter or making stock, some kind of meat stock that has milk or butter in it. Apparently, if you fry the meat in butter, it tastes really good. I wouldn't know, but that's what I hear. And that is usher to do the maisa, even forget about achila. The Maisa Bishul's asks, so if you go to culinary school and part of the test will be to fry meat in butter, you'll violate Issa Daraisa. So meats that are ordered, even if it's not a clear cut case like a burger with cheese, a cheeseburger, that's clearly Bas B'chalav, but regular meat, just a meat, stama meat, a steak, might very well be fried in butter. So we're going to have to figure out if those situations where there's milk and meat will therefore make it usher for the delivery boy, the Uber Eats person to deliver, to get hana from delivering those basa b'chalav items, even if the delivery is to a Gentile who's allowed to eat basa b'chalav. But I'm not allowed to get hana from the basa b'chalav, the $7 delivery fee from delivering the basa b'chalav. So we're going to have to learn a few halachas, and then this will be the last section. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Yerodeh Pei Zayin, this rule that basa b'chalav is asur b'hana only applies to a kosher animal. That means if you have basa b'chalav of horse meat or rabbit meat that is not a kosher animal, that's not going to be basa b'chalav. It also only applies to the milk of a kosher animal. If you have milk of elephant milk or something like that, camel milk, that will also not become asur b'hana. Now, we'll deal with a question in a moment. Continues the Shulchan Aruch and says, you also have to know that even though basa b'chalav of chicken is only drabban, is asur, it's only asur drabbanan, and chicken with milk will only be asur drabbanan to eat, but not asur b'hana. So you're allowed to cook and get hana from chicken with milk. Okay, so that solves a lot of problems. When I talk to you about the Kentucky Fried Chicken, the Popeye's Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's dipped in milk before they put on the breadcrumbs, that's going to be fine. Even though they're cooking milk with chicken, if you have a grilled chicken sandwich with a layer of cheese on top, that's totally fine to get hana from. Okay, that solves part of the problem. Now we just have meat. The question that we have to deal with is twofold. Number one, I told you that what they do with meat, they don't take a steak, you don't take a steak and drop a steak into a pot of milk and boil up a steak in milk. No one does that. What do? They fry it. Now, frying halachically is one thing. Boiling, bishul, halachically is another thing. Lo sivashel gedi b'chalev imo. Bishul basa b'chalev. That's boiling. But what they do in the restaurants with the steaks is they fry it in butter, in milk. Is frying the same thing as boiling the meat in milk? So, bad news for you. On the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Pri Chodesh, the gam tigun. Tigun means frying. That's also considered cooking. So frying is just going to be just as bad. Now, there are opposing opinions. There are other opinions that say, no, frying is not considered cooking. And therefore, behefsid merube yesh lahakel, the Prima Gadim writes. So, but again, this isn't a hefsid merube. This is a guy asking a shiloh, can I work here? It's not like you have $200 of meat and somebody your maid fried it in milk. You want to know if you have to throw it out or you could sell it. And there's a hefsim ruba involved. Okay, that's it. Once it happened already, there's a hefsim ruba, there's room to be mako. And say frying is not cooking, maybe you are letting it out. But here it's not a hefsim ruba. The guy wants to know, can I go into this business or not? It's not a hefsim ruba. Don't go into the business. If you tell me there's no other business that he could go into, for some reason, he can't drive Uber. I don't know why. He can't drive for Uber, but he could do deliveries. And there's no other business. It's either that or he will be unemployed. Maybe that would be like a hefsim ruba. Maybe if the only problem would be that the meats were fried in butter, that's we will rely on the lenient opinions that frying is not considered bishul basa b'chalav. Okay, but that's one point. The most important point is the following. When you go to McDonald's, what kind of meat are you eating? You're eating cow meat. Cow is kosher. So what's the problem? Why can't you eat McDonald's meat? The answer is because it wasn't shechted, it was nevela. So do you remember when we saw the Shulchan Aruch earlier? The Shulchan Aruch says the only time that basar b'chalav is going to be asur b'hana is if it's behema tahora. But if it's basar behema t'meya, then you're allowed to cook it, you're allowed to get hana from it. So what does behema t'meya mean? So if I have camel meat, rabbit meat, boiled in milk, I'm allowed to get hana. What about It's not rabbit meat. It's not camel meat. It's meat that's also d'oraisa for a different reason. It's nevela. It's a cow. Cow meat, but it just wasn't shechted. It's nevela meat. Is nevela subject to becoming basar b'chalav or not? This shaila is a gigantic shaila. And this shaila is really the shaila about all meat in all non-kosher stores, all the McDonald's, all the steakhouses, all the situations where you're going to buy burgers and meat and steaks where there's any milk involved or frying or butter involved, is all going to boil down to this shaila. What's the status of nevela? Now let's think for a second. Nevela is usher to eat. Why can't you eat nevela? Because the Torah says don't eat nevela. Have you ever heard of a phrase? I wrote it in English. Ein iser chalal iser. If you have something that's usher, so if it's already usher, a second iser can't be superimposed on that same item. Once you have something usher already, it can't become secondarily usher. Usher for a second reason. So if I have, let's say, let's start with camel meat. Camel meat's not kosher. We said it's behemoth tmeah. So we said, if it's not kosher, it's not a kosher animal, it's not going to become basar b'chalav. It's not going to become asar b'hana. Maybe you could say the same argument by, maybe you can make the same argument by a nevela of real cow meat. If you have a cow that was shot, that wasn't slaughtered according to Allah, that wasn't shechted, it was just slaughtered however they slaughter it, they shoot it. So this cow is nevela. Maybe it's just like camel meat. Just like by camel meat, you're not going to have the Isra of Hana of Basa B'chalav, you know, superimposed on the Isra of Behemoth Tamea. Maybe even with cow meat, which is nevela, which is killed by a bullet, we're also not going to say, we're going to say once it's also because of nevela, we're not going to put on it the second Isra of Basa B'chalav. So here we have a Dagum Ravava who says the following: Basar Nevela Eino Asur Behana'a. The Dagum Ravava's opinion, that's no de Behuda, he's quoting a Rambam. He says that based on a Rambam somewhere, meat that is kosher animal that was not shechted, in other words, McDonald's meat, is not going to become Basar Bechalov. If you hold like this Dagum Ravava, you basically have solved all the problems in the world with Uber Eats and Isser Hana from Basar B'chalav. You know why? Because chicken, we said, has no problem. What's the problem? Meat. Meat, well, all the non-kosher establishments are all using non-kosher meat because kosher meat is twice as expensive. So, of course, the treif restaurants are all using non-kosher meat, nevela meat. Well, if nevela meat is not subject to basar b'chalav, then all of the deliveries of non-kosher food from non-kosher restaurants are going to be nevela meat. Even if they are fried with milk, even if they are boiled with milk, it's nevela, and nevela can't become basar b'chalav according to Dagum Miravava. And therefore, there will never be an isra hana on this non-kosher meat. And therefore, I should be able to make the deliveries and get my $7 delivery fee for delivering the non-kosher meat and cheeseburger, and steak fried in oil, in fried in butter. Totally fine. You know why? Because all the meat that they use is nevela. And therefore, this Dagum Ravava would allow us to derive hana from basar b'chalav of non-kosher, of these treif restaurants, and I have no problem of hana from basar b'chalav. I'll just finish with one point. The problem is that Dagum Ravava's leniency, we really do not accept l'halacha. I in Prima Gadim Bipsicha, the Prima Gadim's introduction to Yoredei, tells us that we assume that there is an Isser Hana Midaraisa even by Basar Nevela. Meaning, if you have a non-kosher animal like a camel or rabbit, then there's no Basar B'chalav. However, if you have a kosher animal, even if it's not Shechted, meaning it's Nevela, since it's from a kosher animal, from a cow, like all the meat in McDonald's, like all the steaks and all the steakhouses, that's a kosher animal, it's a cow. It's just killed without shechita, it's nevela. All of those, the Prima Gadim says, that will be basar b'chalav de'oraisa, and therefore there'll be an Isra Hanami Daraisa. And that's also how most of the poskim do paskin, not like the leniency of the Dagum Ravava, that there is an Isra of Basar Becholov Mida Raisa for Nevela, and you will not be able to get Hana. And therefore, let us sum up everything that we did tonight. Let's start with this point, then we'll go back to the previous 2 points. There were 3 questions when a person delivers for Uber Eats. We'll start with this one. Could he get Hana from the food? Well, if it's Basa B'chalav of meat, it's not going to be a problem if it's eel or swordfish or catfish sushi. It's not going to be a problem of chicken. But if there's meat there, and it was cooked with milk, or maybe even fried with milk, then it's going to be prohibited for the delivery boy to deliver that dish. So he has to check the app and see what was delivered. If there is meat there, and the meat is normally, again, I think many restaurants, non-kosher restaurants, do fry their steaks in milk or butter, then it's going to be a problem. If he looks at the app, and the ordered foods do not contain steaks that might be prepared that way, they just have chickens and sushis and salads and all the other foods, but not meat and burgers, but not burger with cheese, non-cheeseburgers, then there's no Isra Hana. We took care of that problem. As far as the question that we asked a step before this, Isra Schora, that we said that the prohibition of doing Schora with non-kosher food is only if you're buying and selling the non-kosher food, but if you're just delivering it, Rav Moshe told us, it's permitted. And finally, the question that we spoke about at the beginning of today and last week is what happens if the food to whom you're delivering the delivery is to a non-religious Jew? Is that going to be, well, it's not lifnei iver because he could get it elsewhere, but it's helping a non-Jewish person get food. There is a lot of room to be lenient because many poskim hold that there is no Isser to, once he could get it himself, you're allowed to enable him to get it. And even if it's Usser, it might not be Usser to a non-religious Jew. That's a big machlokes, and Nisad Rabban, there's a lot of room to be made on that. So halacha l'maisa comes out, if we put all these things together, that if you would be able to ascertain that there's no Basar B'chalav of meat in the order, it's most probably mutter to get involved in this delivery service. And if you see that it's a Jewish name, you want to avoid it, you can, but that's a big machlokes, there's room to be mekel. If, however, there is meat that is reasonably was made with milk, that would be subject to an iser of an iser hana. You would not be able to get the benefit from the $7 delivery fee from this dish. From delivering this dish, and therefore you would not be able to make the $7 delivery fee for Basa B'chalav, even though the meat is not kosher, but we're machmir that meat of an avela is asr v'hanah.